Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from bsideblog.com and the Banter Blender podcast. And joining me, as usual, is the hilarious, perhaps caffeinated, always lovely, always wonderful and warm and cozy and sweet, and just full of life and love. It's Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com.
Oh, Ben.
And also the Rose Pricks Bachelor podcast, and also Real Housewives of Beverly Hills audiobooks. Hi, Ronnie.
Yeah, Ben.
Hi, hi,
what's
hi,
going
hi.
On, baby?
Oh, I'm just enjoying hump day, darling. I've got some rum chata in my coffee, so I'm feeling extra perky. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great.
Good. Good.
It's a wonderful, wonderful week. All of our shows are coming to a close. We're about to have a huge changeover in shows.
Yeah.
So we're finishing everything up. Yesterday was Vanderpump Rules, and this week, today is Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, the penultimate episode.
Penultimate, and then tomorrow we're gonna do a full breakdown of the Southern Charm season four trailer. We're gonna go frame by frame, sort of, or shot by shot, I should say. So we are gearing up for next week's madness when we're gonna be overloaded with shows.
Yeah, we're going to have a great time.
But I'll tell you one thing. I feel like between Vanderpump Rules and Atlanta and Beverly Hills, it feels like we have 10 shows on our hands because there's so much going on in all of them.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Well, this one is a stressful start because we start where we left off in Honga Kong, darling.
Honga Konga. Yeah, I have to do what you always do, which I'm always like, ugh, Ronnie, why are you recapping what we saw in the previews? But I actually have to, because I just love that moment when Erica turns to Eileen and goes, shut the fuck up. And Eileen goes, wow.
Wow. With her Madonna gloves.
Wow. She basically turns into Joey from Blossom. Wow.
Those gloves, I just keep waiting for her to ask for change. Anyone? She needs to be holding a hat, like shaking it around for some change. Oh, Eileen.
Maybe like she can have one of the, she could sell a flower to somebody, but the flower is on a string, and when they walk away, she pulls the flower back.
Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa. Whoa.
She's like the sad version of Ramona, because Ramona's like, whoa. And she's like, whoa.
Well, Ramona would not just say whoa. She would go, wow. Whoa. You know, Erica, I'm sorry. You know what? That's day class A. I'm trying to help you, Erica. What the fuck is wrong with you? You're a dum-dum, Erica. You're a dum-dum, okay?
You're like Forrest Trump said. You're dumb like a box of chocolates, okay?
Forrest Trump. Did you say Forrest Trump or did you say Forrest Gump? Because I heard Forrest Trump.
Forrest Trump. It's Ramona here, okay? Oh, Ramona, yeah. We're talking about.
Kadoos. Kadoos on a great joke, Ronnie.
I didn't even vote for her, okay?
I'm sorry. I'm going to go see the Buddha instead, okay? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Stay class A. Stay class A. Let's face it. Can't wait to do New York next week. Cannot wait. So anyway, back to the Coke allegations. Speaking of New York, boutique. This is when Rinna's like, hey, baby, I got to ask you this, Dorit.
You left me alone at dinner, and then I looked around, and there was no one there, baby! Were you doing coke in your bathroom, baby?
And she's like, I certainly wasn't.
Well, she goes, I certainly wasn't.
Oh, yeah. I certainly wasn't. Actually, I wrote here, I certainly wasn't. No accent. I was like, uh-oh, you know Dorit's scared when she forgets to put on her accent. I mean, she's been pretty consistently terrible with it, so...
I like then, like, you know, because then there's a little bit that's like, Rena, whoa, Rena. And then Dorit goes, are you suggesting that I got up from dinner table and did drugs? I'm like, yeah, what else were you doing coke in the bathroom supposed to mean, Dorit?
Yeah, it's not a suggestion.
It was more of an accusation.
Well, I have no, this was my favorite part. She goes, I have no idea. No one brought it to my attention. Hey, you're doing coke right now. Hey, Dorit, thanks for the party. Oh, my God, you're doing coke right now. Look at you. You're doing coke.
I am, aren't I? Thanks for bringing it to my attention.
This isn't coke on my nose. I just decided to make some frosting right at this moment. Got a little powdered sugar on me. That's all.
I was getting me my makeup on and forgot what I was doing. I was going for more of a Marcel pattern.
I told PK, wouldn't it be hilarious if I just made some frosting right now? And so I took out all the powdered sugar, and just to make sure it was still good, I went and snorted some of it, and wouldn't you know it, someone had swapped the powdered sugar with cocaine!
I'm on a sugar high, Lisa Rinna Sasumi!
I hope you enjoy your non-frosted cupcakes!
So Rinna is now doing the thing where Rinna gets really mad and she doesn't really have much to say. So she starts pacing, but they're in like this corner on the top floor of some restaurant and it's really tight. I mean, there's no pacing room, but Rinna's still trying to pace anyway. And it cracks me up. I noticed that right next to Eileen is Eden and she's wearing a straitjacket outfit. It's like this white... this white jacket that goes, or this white blouse thing that goes all the way up to her neck. And I thought, that's fitting. Poor Eden never says anything.
She's just trying to empathize very hard at that moment. I like that when, you know, when Dorit gets all upset, Rinna goes, well, why are you all worked up about it, baby? I'm like, okay, now you're just gaslighting Dorit, Rinna. You did just accuse her of doing coke, and then and now you're shocked that she got worked up about it.
My house is a coke den. Oh, look at that. I have two little babies, but my house is a coke den.
Why would you ever think that I would care so much about cocaine? I mean, just because I named my son Jagger. I live with Boy George.
Just because Jagger's name is Tiny White Lines. Phoenix's middle name is Cut Straw. How could you think?
Now, to be fair, though, I mean, it was a pretty aggressive attack by Rinna. And I mean, I, as I said last week, when she said, were you guys doing coke? I just like laughed because it was like such a full on, it was like, boom, I'm going to come at you really hard. It was so like not what I was really expecting. I was expecting it as like a joke. I wrote down as a joke in my notes. So when she actually said it, I was like laughing. But to be fair, I mean, you know, and this is not me being like, oh, I'm going to take Rinna's side blindly because we just had dinner with her. Like, you know, Dorit has just spent several weeks going around quietly telling people that Rinna's on Xanax. When Rinna makes one joke and then Dorit takes it and then is just quietly trying to push this narrative that Rinna's on Xanax and is a druggie. And so, you know, I kind of feel like Rinna was like, you know what, fuck it. You're going around spreading these rumors. I've been sitting on this for 4 months. I could have said this a long time ago because that party was in the beginning of the season. You're going to start saying that? Fine. I'm going to talk about how you guys all went into a closet and did coke. There you go.
Yeah, Rinna always holds on to things till way later.
Yeah, her timing's not always great.
Yeah, it's always like months and months later. She says, you were talking about me being a Xanax addict, baby. And she's like, I didn't. I was just asking. It's different. It was in question form. I was jeopardying it. You
I was going to say that.
You what? Were press your lucking it. Very different, Lisa Rinna.
And you got a whammy. PK loves whammy, a whammy. Baby. It's a British dessert.
No whammy, baby. So
too soon after George Michael. Too soon on about the whammies.
Wake me up before you do blow.
Careless rumors.
So Vanderpump's like, it's getting too mean and too personal. I know what you're doing, Rinna, and that's a low blow. And then Rinna's like, I don't care. You know low blow better than anybody, honey. And Eileen goes, huh, you really do.
Like, whoa. Wow.
Whoa.
Wow, that was a good one.
Eileen just snaps right out of it to snarl. I was like, where'd that voice come from?
Through all of this, Erica, meanwhile, who has just had a meltdown, is just in the corner. You know what she's doing? It's like, you know when you're playing like Mike Tyson's Punch-Out or something on Nintendo, and you like you're punching the guy, and then you like get them, and then they're in that state where they're like, woo, 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 and you know you can like land the knockout punch. That's what Erica's doing right now in the corner. She's just like, woo, 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 like little birds flying around her head right now. Because she's totally missing this entire fight.
And Kyle, who's still waiting for people to catch Rinna on something, because she's like, you know, passive aggressively bitchy towards Rinna now instead of like full on bitchy, which is so Kyle. But she's like, you never know what Rinna's going to pull out of the back of hers, but it's always going to be a really sharp dagger. And
Sorry.
Don't bring dagger into this. Oh, never mind. I feel like I just got out of a torture chamber. A torture chamber.
You know, to be fair, you know, when Kyle is saying, hey, Rinna, oh, it always feels like she's going to pull out some. You never know what she's going to pull out of her hat and when she's going to be truly nasty. I'm like, you know who else that sounds like? Kim.
Yeah, Kim, yeah. Oh my God, hey, Rinna! Like, oh no, no one get hurt today. No one throw a glass.
Where's Carney Wilson when we need her?
Hey guys, cheesecake.
So,
oh wait, I have to say, who told us? Oh, was it Rinna the other night? This is something that we can say. She said Carney Wilson's desserts. She had tried them before. I guess Carney Wilson brought them to some other reality show they did. But they had met. She had tried her desserts years ago, and she said they're like the best fucking desserts she's ever had in her life. Baby.
Well, so, when you don't eat a lot of sugar, you know, when you don't let yourself indulge like that, you have one piece of cheesecake and you fall over, you know? You remember how amazing it is. I know, because it's what happens to me every time I break my diet. It's like a month goes by and I'm like, oh, well, I can have a piece of cheesecake. And then I'm like,
you're seeing babies on the ceiling.
Yeah, I'm like rubbing it all over my face, you know?
By the way, side note, I would love a mini chocolate cheesecake right now.
Carney.
Somebody, I need to put like the Carney symbol up in the sky, like for Batman.
Well, just tell Carney you're on a reality show and you need a cheesecake. She'll bring her whole crew over.
Come on, you can have just one, I tell my friends. You can have just one.
Release me, Carney, release me.
So this fight's still going on, and Lisa Rinna is like pacing around in a tiny little cage. She's just walking back and forth behind the chairs. She's like, you implied I was a drug addict, so just say, I don't know, Lisa, and I'll be done with it. And all the other side of the table goes, I don't know, Lisa.
Yeah, that was funny. That was very much like, I felt like some sort of like callback to Grease or something. You know, was that like a... like as in the musical, like, I felt like it was the Pink Ladies mocking her or something. I don't know, Lisa.
Yeah,
they're like, tell me more. Like, does he have a car?
Lisa Vanderpump is, what was the name of Stocker Channing's character again? I'm sorry, everyone.
Rizzo.
She is from the original Rizzo, isn't she?
There are worse things I could do. Look at me, I'm Lisa R.
So Rinna's like,
I'm done, baby.
And she leaves. And then she tells us, she's like, Dorit
is bullshit. And I don't want to call somebody out, but when I see someone like her, who's bullshit, I got to do it, baby.
And then so Dorit, they split up into their little groups. Yeah. And Dorit's in the car, and she's like, I don't understand why Rinna would make such an accusation. It was designed to intentionally malign my character.
Designed to malign my character. It was like a missile attack. Another missile.
What did I do to merit it?
I was waiting for the car to stop short and I have a total callback to True Romance when Balky Bartakowicz gets the coke right up on his face.
What should I do to merit that Coke on my face?
Who put all this powdered sugar in the car seat?
And she's freaking out. And basically, Vanderpump is doing what she usually does. She's like, I've taken this more than anyone. I understand what you're going through. For example, when I was accused of running over a bridge to ask Lisa Rinna why she didn't bring Kyle into it.
By the way, Lisa also was clearly drunk at this moment. Because she was like slumped over on her chair. She's like, I've been there, darling. I've been there.
Well, also, she had to slump over because she's still in her Marge Simpson hair. So she can't she can't sit up straight anywhere she goes.
Yeah. So, she's definitely doing the, I've been on the receiving end. I've been Rinna'd.
You got Rinna'd, darling.
I've been Rinna'd and brandied.
Look at me,
I'm Brandy G.
That would have been
holy Miss Non-Virginity. Don't close my legs till I'm legally a dregs. Me, Brandy G.
You're the one that I want. The one that I need to eat.
Come here, my broken little hoe.
So in the other car, so the next day, Rinna's packing. She's in her reading glasses, and she's just like, having a great morning.
She just calls up Lisa Vanderpump. She's like, hi.
Lisa Vanderpump, it's me, Lisa Rinna. I just wanted to say thank you. What an amazing trip. What an amazing dinner. I wish I was a dog so I could write you a thank you card with my tiny little paws, Lisa Vanderpump.
Lisa Vanderpump's like, darling, I was very disappointed in dinner last night. And Rinna's like, yeah, I hardly ate any of it. It was gross.
No, darling, I meant that part where you accused Dorit of being a drug addict.
Then Rinna goes, what? I didn't mean anything mean by it.
You know, it's just like one of those warm things you say to your friends, you know, like, were you doing coke in the bathroom? That's all. Hugs.
I was just trying to say, you look so thin. Were you doing coke in your bathroom, baby? It's nice.
You look like Kate Moss. That's all I'm saying. You're like a supermodel, Dorit.
And then Vanderpump's like, I'm not happy with you. Anyway, come to my rosé party.
Yes.
Are you gonna
apologize? This is my last chance to plug Pandy's new business, so please do come, darling.
So then, in the lobby, Erica, Eileen, and Eden, the three E's, are sitting there, and it's all awkward because Erica hasn't apologized to Eileen yet, and Eileen's just like, wow. And Eden's just, who knows what Eden's even saying at that point, but it's just an awkward moment.
I'll tell you, today's activities are going to be rough. I'll be waiting for Erica to apologize to me properly.
And I still have the shits from Mexico, so, you know. Thank God we're not going back on that gondola. Am I right, everyone?
And Erica's trying to pretend nothing happens. She's in these gigantic sunglasses, just kind of sitting there staring. It's the most awkward thing. And then Eden's like leaning back in the couch, just looking at them like, who wants to be open about something? What path are we on today, lady? But no one will speak. It's really awkward. So
she's like, here's my moment. So, guys, I got another text message from London. Oh, good. You everyone's like, oh, here's Lisa. Okay, bye, everyone. Bye, Eden. But my storyline.
So Eileen, so they end up all going to shop at this really nice store,
Shanghai Tang,
which I wonder if that's any like the shop. Yeah, I wonder if it's any different than like American Tang, the orange drink that Meemaw used to serve me with peanut butter and butter sandwiches every Sunday.
Yeah, probably not.
And to read, of course, shopping will always take the pain, and I'm like, yeah, and then creditors will take away your shopping. It's like a crazy circle you guys live in, you and PK.
Well, you know, because you know that she probably bought something that was, you know, 2,000 Hong Kong dollars, which really was like, you know, $150 or something like that. And she probably tells everyone, oh, it was $2,000. You know, she takes the Chinese dollar amount when she brags about how much something costs.
Yeah, she takes the peso rate.
Yeah, I love a good currency zing. Gotcha, Dorit. Gotcha.
These were $19 million.
It's like $1.99 in pesos.
It's like, that's like a novelty fan, okay? You got it at a gift shop on the street.
It's from Banksy.
So Erica, let's see. So Erica goes, oh, wait. First, Eileen says, well, I love shopping. I'm going to buy a bracelet because that'll make me feel better about being yelled at. Then I'll buy a purse because that'll make me feel better about, you know, all the ladies diarrhea. Embarrassing me by yelling at me in public. And then I'm going to buy these shoes, and that'll make me feel better about Lisa Vanderpump never apologizing to me for what she said to me in the Hamptons 17 months ago, 9 days.
And I'll buy these.
8 minutes ago.
I'm going to buy this scarf to remind me of Charles Beckinsworth not giving me an invitation to this year's Burbank Film Festival.
I'm going to buy an extra button for my jacket to remind me to wait for Marlena Evans to apologize for having me banned from Salem forever.
And here's... I'm going to buy this brooch to remind myself that 8 is enough. Vinny, 8 is enough. And I don't even know what that means. I literally don't know.
Whoa.
Just reference.
Whoa.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
So Eileen is... I mean, Erica and Eden are sitting there. Oh, well, Erica goes...
gets fat-shamed.
Yeah, she gets fat-shamed. She goes up to the front. She's like, are these the clothes I asked for? And the lady's like, oh, yes, these are extra large. She's like, well, thanks a lot, bitch. That sure took the wind out of my sails.
Not so much wind beneath my wings. Am I right, everyone? Thanks very much. Have a great night. Good night, everyone.
I'm a 6 at home, and here I'm a extra large.
Did you ever know that you were not my hero? Thank you.
So, yeah, so Erica's, like, stuck. She's the one who gets stuck on a couch with Eden. She's like, oh, God. Could this day get any worse?
For and Eden's like, shame, you want to go on the... stuck. You want to go on a journey of self-discovery with this friendship ring?
She's like, you don't gotta buy me things to be my friend, Eden.
Eden's like, I don't really understand that. I'm going to buy it for you.
Just say thank you and I love you. And Erica goes,
thanks.
I'll say thank you.
She's like, this court seals the heart.
Erica's like, I truly don't give a fuck. Right now, like when I say I don't give a fuck, I literally give zero fucks right now.
Good.
Like when she says, do you know what rose quartz does? And she goes,
no, but I have a feeling you're gonna tell me.
And then she's like, thanks. And she leaves. She just leaves her there. And she runs up to the other ladies and she's like,
you won't believe what just happened. The stupid one came over and bought this stupid ring for me.
Vanderpump's like, darling, you need to have it priced because you're gonna have to be a very good friend to her to get a ring.
Well, Vanderpump is like, I should have the ring. I'm the leader of this pack, and she didn't even give me a ring. God damn it.
Yeah, these are Beverly Hills women. They don't understand women buying each other rings.
Yeah.
She's like, do you have to give her a blowjob for that? I got my first bar, personally. I had no needs for rings.
I'm sure Eden was, like, in the process of buying Lisa Vanderpump another, like, a ring. Like, she was there at the register, and she probably just turns around, and all the women have already left. She's like, oh, okay, well. Never mind.
It's like, that bitch didn't buy me a ring, and I gave her tea.
Do you know what turquoise is about, Lisa Vanderpump? No, but I guess you're going to tell me, too. Please don't say it's about healing. It's about healing.
God damn it.
It's like that 30 Rock. Remember, there's like some scene where Jenna is talking to... Jenna Maroney is talking to Liz Lemon... and says something like, you know what he is threatened by? And Liz Lemon goes, please don't say your sexuality. Because my sexuality.
So Lisa is like, go price that ring. So she does. And the lady's like,
1680. And Lisa's like, $1,700, darling. You're going to have to be really nice to her, darling.
You're going to have to munch a crunch, darling. And then they make her say,
give one fuck.
Erica's like,
I want a rebuttal. I want a recheck. Do you have one of those little scatter things like the Target where I can just run it under it and bleep bleep the price out?
It's like, oh, $172.
She's like, oh, all right. Well, now I'm pissed. Yeah. Eden, I want a better present.
Lisa's like,
speaking of, let's go watch the dogs that are about to be tortured.
Yay.
So they go to the SPCA, and they visit the dogs. The dogs are super cute. You know me, I'm not even a dog person, but these dogs were really, really cute. And
they really were cute. I was shocked that they were so cute. I thought they ate, like, you know, like the stray dogs or like the crows. Like
gorgeous dogs.
Yeah, I thought they would be eating, like, Tom and Katie's kind of dogs, you know, just like mad and dirty, unwanted, unloved. But they're like Vanderpump dogs. They're really cute.
Yeah, I was surprised Eden didn't buy them all like friendship rings. She's like, here, doggies. This heals the heart. All rose quartz for all of you.
Now, please say I love you.
They're like, take us back to Ulan.
So they're going to be taking a bunch of the dogs to Beverly Hills to act as ambassadors to Ulan. And we all get to see them all kind of playing with the dogs. And I thought, who eats a beagle? Like, really? who does that? That's Snoopy. Okay.
Gross AF.
That's gross AF. Snoopy, yeah, it's hard for me to not say as fuck.
Snoopy's a beagle?
Yeah. He doesn't look like one, really. It's just the big floppy ears. But yeah, he's a beagle.
Oh, I mean, I never thought of Snoopy as any sort of breed. He's just Snoopy. But how dare anyone eat Snoopy?
Yeah, Snoopy's how could
very
you?
Special to me.
He's very special, and he has such a lovely amount of sarcasm. Like, he just does. The right amount.
And when he cries, you really feel it. Gosh, no one cries like Snoopy.
Yeah, when he flies tears. On his doghouse. I mean, come on, guys.
I mean, he can make his house fly. And Woodstock, his love for Woodstock.
Guys, I mean, hugs.
I'm not even going to. You know, when I was a child, I had Snoopy Come Home, the book. If that doesn't make you cry, Snoopy Come Home, I don't know what does.
You're like, remember that? I had the book Snoopy Come Home, and then I ate it in a very vindictive dinner I had. So Erica goes up to this dog who's got a cone around it, so it can't bite its butt or whatever. And Erica's like,
hey, dog, did you just get nude at home? Is that why you got the cone? That sucks for you. Oh, man. They sure got you, dog.
And all the dog hears is wah, 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 wah.
And then you've got Eileen over falling in love with another dog demanding an apology.
I actually felt so bad for Eileen because she's like, I really made a connection with this dog. It's like it knew all my deep inner secrets. And then she's like, can I take it to America? They're like, it'll be a lot of paperwork. She's like, wow.
I like when she goes, this dog really gets me. And he's very sad.
I've noticed that this dog has shat everywhere. I really can identify with it.
This dog never gets a chance to verbalize his feelings either, so feeling very close with it right now.
I've noticed that this dog's best friend has just totally berated it. I really identify with it.
So downstairs, the dogs play, blah, blah, blah. Let's go back to America.
Yay, Fig and Olive.
Yes, a favorite of the housewives.
And no one else.
The entire housewives genre.
Yes.
Fig and Olive.
So it's Erica. Erica and Eileen are there first. Kyle joins them later. But first, just Erica and Eileen. And what I thought was funny was Erica says, it's really important for Eileen to know just how sorry I was for what happened in Hong Kong. And then we cut to them just sitting there. And Erica, like, not even broaching it. They're just talking about, you know, Young and the Restless scripts and bread rolls and grasshoppers and who knows what, but anything but Hong Kong. I was like, okay, well, you're really conveying that message well, Erica.
Yeah. And Eileen's like, well, you're shooting in 2 days, and isn't it funny you don't have a script yet? Normally we have them by now. Surely you're coming, and surely you still have the role. Anything you want to say?
No.
I mean, the last thing that we would want would be for you to be unprepared for your soap opera debut. Isn't that right? Do you have anything to say? Anything to talk about? Anything you've been reflecting upon?
Nope, got nothing. Got new sunglasses, though, so there's that.
All right, and then, like, the messenger, like, was, like, walking into the into the restaurant, and Eileen's, like, doing the, like, that finger across her throat thing. No, go, leave.
The waiter's like, would you guys like anything to drink? And she's like, yes, I'll take a glass of, I'm sorry, Erica.
I'll take a glass of, I've read the script already and you haven't, bitch. Great.
I'll take a nice bottle of, you're probably not going to be on my show unless you say you're sorry. Erica, would you like a glass?
Erica, they've put you on Passions instead. Yes, just show up at 1234 Fig Street. Thank you.
Wait a minute. That's been canceled.
Has it? Well, what a shame. How rude of the producers.
So Kyle joins, and she's, you know, of course, showing up with her own agenda. She's like, hey, everyone, how you doing? Rena, huh? Wow, Lisa yeah. Rena, huh?
Well, she's barking up the wrong tree because Eileen is Rinna's staunchest advocate. And you know, Erica has become a big ally of Rinna. So they're basically like, yeah, it was pretty great what Rinna did. And, you know, we liked it. And Erica, yeah. Erica basically says, listen, Dorita was not sincere with her apology. She doesn't even realize what she's done. And turnabout is fair play. So all the more power to Rinna.
So Carol just drops it. She's like, okay, well, do you feel better? Because you look like you feel better. I mean, you're not, you know, your eyes aren't squinted oddly while the rest of your face doesn't move and no one's terrified.
You aren't
the
making
curtains
odd,
aren't going up in the fire.
You aren't making weird noises like a broken bassoon.
You don't know what I go through at Fig and Olive.
You don't know what I think through it, Olive.
So Erica, of course, because she's Erica and does not, she gives more way fucks than she acts. And absolutely. Also because she talks to Eileen a little bit too much on the phone, is never going to let anything go. So Kyle's like, well, do you feel better? And she goes,
I'm not sure to read sincere with her apology.
I'm like, oh, jeez.
Oh, well, I mean, God. I don't think Dorit was sincere.
Who cares? She said she's sorry. Get over it.
Well, I mean, I think it's just an issue of like, why am I expected to now suddenly become friends with this girl who like wasn't sincere, doesn't even know what she did wrong, and I'm supposed to act like, oh yeah, no, we're cool. Like, no, like fuck this bitch.
Yeah, but she brought it up so much later. It's like, oh my God, you can't forgive and then keep bringing shit up.
No, but the thing is, the reason why it came up later, here's the reason why it's an issue. Because, you know, when they finally, like, let's just, like, move on, Dorit kept on needling Erica all season long. Like, oh, that's the first compliment you've ever given me, which is, like, a real fuck you thing to say, and it's a lie. And I was like,
yeah, but then why couldn't she just say, you keep needling me, Dorit, you're always trying to fuck with me. You know, that would have been an appropriate response. Well, like, I'm not saying she doesn't have a right to be annoyed with Dorit. Everyone's annoyed with
but
Dorit.
I think when you do that, I think the thing is this, Dorit is just as guilty as holding on to it also. Because whatever issue Dorit had that caused her to want to spread the Pantygate rumors is, which my theory is that that Erica made fun of her being from Connecticut. Whatever that is, it still was there because she kept on taking digs at Erica. So it's kind of like, you know what? Fuck you. You know, like, why? Like, yeah, you are full of bullshit. And I've thought that ever since, you know, you started this stupid Pantygate thing, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think Erica was saying I'm still hurt by Pantygate. Well, she was though, but I take that back. But I just feel like Dorit didn't show any sincere signs of trying to move on from that moment. So therefore that moment actually hadn't been put in the past. Dorit kept it quietly, that tension quietly in the present. So I really do get Erica being like, fuck you. Yeah, I've been trying to be nice.
I mean, I get her saying, fuck you. Dorit's an obnoxious person, but just as a viewer, I'm fucking sick of looking at this stupid fight. It's the dumbest fight.
I love it.
It's one of the dumbest fights of all time.
The dumber
and they're
fight,
still
the
fighting about Erica's vagina. And meanwhile, Erica's, you know, flapping her vagina everywhere. Like, I'm not going to suddenly believe that Erica's so sensitive about her vag.
Well, it's not about Erica flapping her vagina. It's about the fact that, you know, PK was sitting there staring at it, and then they go on camera and they talk about it, like, ooh, her vagina, ooh, maybe she was like trying to seduce you, like, oh my God, like, put that away. Like, the way they were talking about
fight.
It was so gross.
I get the fight. I get it. I mean, I understand the fight. I'm saying I'm sick of hearing of it. Like, you can't, I just am sick of them saying, you're forgiven, you're forgiven. I'm sorry, you're forgiven. I'm sorry, you're forgiven. It's 18 episodes later, for fuck's sake, ladies. Oh my God.
But
I'm just sick of it. That's all I'm saying.
That's fine. You're entitled to be sick of it. I'm not, because I love a petty ass fight. But what I'm saying is, I do think at that moment it was forgiven. But then Dorit is like a shady gossip. I mean, that's what she is. And that's almost what makes her actually so hilarious on the show, is that she does that and you get like annoyed at her, and she didn't realize she was doing it with Rinna. Or at least she's acting like she didn't realize. She's just acting like she didn't realize she was doing it with Erica. She's totally passive-aggressive, undermining these girls that she feels threatened by. Not threatened by, but she felt some sort of way after something happened, and then she's like going at them in this quiet way where she can then, if ever confronted about it, be like, what? I only said the nicest things about it. That's all in the past. Why are you bringing that up? You know, that's how a passive aggressive person can act, is that they cover their tracks like that. So that's what I'm seeing in Dorit. So I get it. I get why Erica is just like, you know what? Fuck that. Fuck you.
Well, I like that she goes, you know, that whole thing. She doesn't even understand what they've done to me. You know, walking around saying, Erica's trying to seduce my husband. And then the editors cut to Dorit going, well, it's not like I thought you were trying to seduce my husband.
Well, so it's funny, but the thing is, the reason why they introduced that is because Dorit put that out there. Like, it was one of those things.
I know, I get it. I just thought it was hilarious that that's what the editors, they intercut it right there. Yeah. And she's like, she needs to prove to me she's worth having a friendship with. Well, and Eileen's like, well, you know, there's that party coming this weekend. And she's like,
well, I'm going to make it, and I hope they'll make it right. Now, let's talk about something else. I'm sorry I had to melt down at you at the table. You know, I would never mean it. I appreciate a friendship. I would never say anything like that to you.
You know, next level, all that bullshit. Okay, great.
She's like, oh, well, you know, I don't hold a grudge. Uh-huh. Okay.
Now, does anyone know what Lisa Vanderpump is, as long as we're on this path? So... Speaking of Dorit, so Dorit and PK, so we cut to PK at like a bar in their house, and he like gets on the old intercom, and he's like, honey, come have a drink at the bar.
I'll be right down, PK.
I've rented a watch to show off for the camera. It's a gold watch, very big, very gold. Please come to the bar so I can show it off to the camera. Every time he moved, he would move his gold watch into the camera. I'm like, I have not seen moves this not smooth about bragging about money since Kyle. I mean, Kyle's usually the best at that. She'll let you see the double C's and the LVs everywhere she can on her body.
I think Atlanta is the bigger offender in terms of like unsmooth bragging about labels. So we learned that Boy George is going on tour, darling. She's like, oh, we have to go to Switzerland next week. I simply cannot. He's like, no, darling, of course not. We can't afford that.
I just got back from Hong Kong,
which I've been to so many times. You know, Shanghai Tang and all.
He's like, well, I was so affected by what you were telling me in Hong Kong, darling.
Like, it was rough and it was odd and I didn't expect it.
And then, yeah, she's talking about Rinna and everything. She's like, she's someone who kind of freaks me out. That was her, like, Irish
one
accent.
One day she's like this, the next day she's like that. Then one day she's like this.
And he's like, you know, they call that schizophrenics, and they're dangerous people.
It's like going to a Kaja Gugu concert and discovering it's Duran Duran.
These people are just shameless, you know? It's like, okay, we were just trying to insinuate she's a drug addict. Now let's just insinuate that she's completely mentally insane and needs to be fired from the show because she's dangerous to everybody else around her. And Dorit, not even knowing what she's saying half the time, she goes, and then Erica, she went into this whole dramatic hoo-ha. You know a hoo-ha means a vag, right?
She found a giant dramatic vag and stepped into it. Just like in Stranger Things, she went to the upside down and it was inside her own womb.
She started a hoo-ha brouhaha.
Bridesmaids, hoo-ha-ha. No, Dorit, you're not even on the same show anymore.
It was a brew hoo ha.
Aren't you representing that new band? Ooh ha ha. No, I don't even know what you're talking about, darling.
So they're making fun of Erica. Like, suddenly, you know, she's acting all affected by this. And she's like, yeah, and she said you should call her husband. And he said she should call her husband, who she doesn't even see. And it's like, hey, Tom. She doesn't see. She says, hey, Tom, it's been 6 months. It's a good one. Good one, PK.
Yeah, sign him up for Def Comedy Jam, you know?
Yeah. So, Tone Def Comedy Jam.
Now, that's a thing.
And Erica would win.
Yeah.
So, Dorit's like,
Will I go to this party? I will. Am I prepared to let Rinna sit there and pretend it's all okay? I'm not.
Here's what I'll do to prepare myself. I'm gonna dip my head in gold poop. It'll be so like a little joke. It'll be a little joke, you know, because she's schizophrenic. It'll be like one of those metal helmets those schizo homeless people wear. Except mine will be gold.
I'm going to buy her straight jacket and wrap it up and give it to her.
Pretty little crazy puss. Crazy little puss. Crazy.
So now we skip over to the ladies who are shooting things in big old Hollywood.
Yeah, Television City. We go to Television City, home of Dancing with the Stars and Young and the Restless. Two shows that Erica Jane is now the star of.
Erica Jane reporting duty for passions.
Reporter Erica reporting live.
Christina's like, that's my phrase?
Erica's like,
I don't give a fuck.
I'm so nervous. I've been preparing for this all day. I've been in the chapel. Said a million Hail Marys.
Like, I don't think it's going to work in your homemade chapel with, like, Jesus, Buddha, and Satan. Like, whoever. I don't even remember. It's like the Pier 1 chapel upstairs. Yeah. In her. Pier 1 will not save you. Okay.
So she gets to Y&R, and she's, like, going into her dressing room. She's got her sides, and Eileen's like, oh, you're like a real actor now. Wow. And then this is
the same dressing room that I used to use when I had my son. And my son was in here. He crawled into a laundry bag for the first time and got in the fetal position and just pretended he was somewhere else, anywhere else. I've never really understood it.
I remember those days just like they were yesterday. That was when Vinny gambled away half our money and we had no more funds to pay for daycare.
Oh, it was a great time, Aileen. Thanks.
You're welcome. This is intercut with Kyle on the set of her scripted show. It's like doing a late night thing. I mean, all the Kyle stuff was really like literally like nothing. It's like, wow, this reminds me of my childhood doing a late night shoot. I'm like, yeah, you realize you're still on a TV show doing shoots at night. But anyway.
Yeah. And she's like, oh my God, I'm a producer. And so I really want to make sure that I'm involved in everything. What scene are we shooting?
Can we work the agency into this scene? No?
Yes, okay. They can, because Maury's there. He's like, oh, hello, babe. I was just over there getting a coffee and coming to support you doing your show, which could use a bigger house. Hey, who do I talk to about this show getting a bigger house?
He could talk to Farrah Dubois, because that's Erica's character who plays like a bitchy real estate lady. And in the scene in Young and the Restless, in case you haven't seen it, Eileen and Erica bump into each other and spill coffee. And at the end of the scene, when they part ways, they both have to say bitch. And what I thought was so funny was Eileen was asking the director, like, I wonder, like, should I be singing under my breath, like, bitch? And then Erica was like, no, just let's look into each other's eyes and just say bitch. And I was like, this is the fundamental difference between these women. Is that Eileen just wants to, like, just sort of squirm away and be like, bitch. Erica, you know, Erica's like, bitch.
Erica's like,
well, I think I should say, bitch, how do you think I feel about you after that thing with your husband? Sorry, I'm being bossy.
So back on Kyle's set, Kyle's sitting with a producer named Jenny. And, you know, it's like Jenny's the only one willing to act like she gives a fuck, you know? She's like, whoa, Kyle, this is so great. I mean, this is a big deal for you, and you're killing the game.
Yeah. Well, she just borrowed two lines from our other two shows, Kristen and Demetria.
It's, yeah, this girl just quoted Kristen from Vanderpump Rules. I'm not really sure that this is someone you want in control of your show. So over at Villa Rosa, the black swans are gossiping in their own corner about the white swans.
They're saying, can you believe that Rinna can be so low-blowy?
And Hanky's ass still itches. It's like yet another week where Hanky's just biting his own ass.
Yeah, he needs to go back to that vet.
Yeah, he needs a cone.
So the real joy of this is that Lisa Vanderpump is planning her rosé party, because it's for Pandy and Jason, right? They're launching their rosé. And so it's a party, which means time to call in Kevin Lee, our favorite.
Yoko Homo.
I love Kevin Lee.
It's going to be fabulous and gorgeous. Oh, how about Hong Kong?
How about Hong Kong trip? And then she's like, difficult, darling. And he goes, oh, Rina, Rina, Rina.
Yeah, pretty much. And she's doing the same thing, you know. Rina, you just, you know, you never know what she's texting. At first, I thought it was good natured, but now it's just so nasty. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I hope I get the opportunity to point out that she's inappropriate and unacceptable.
So, meanwhile, Kevin doesn't care because he's eyeing Lisa's pony handler.
Who is so fine. Yeah. Rawr.
Super rawry. Super rawry. And she's like, now, Kevin, he is straight. So don't get any ideas. Don't get any ideas. And then she pulls him over to the pony guy. He's like, hey, how's it going? And then Lisa literally turns to Kevin and goes, do you have any questions for him?
She's like making a spider web that says, do you have any questions for Straighty, darling?
Would you feel more comfortable if I changed into my Vanderpump Rules witchcraft dress?
Oh, we need to kill Spider. Spider make a mess.
He's like, are you straight? And she's like, oh, Kevin Lee. What gave you the idea that you should ask that question? Ask it again, darling.
What a horse's ass. Ask him again for safety. All right, ask him at a different angle in case they need a better shot.
Do we have that? Okay, good. Locked and loaded. Next scene. Let's go to the next setup. We're rolling. We're moving on, people. We're moving on.
So now we get the obligatory, the lady's getting ready for a party.
So
Kyle's like, oh my God, Maurizio, it's an emergency. I didn't realize Lisa had a specific color palette, so I took this off a mannequin over at Kyle by Eileen, kind of too, maybe. And it was too long, so I'm cutting it myself, but the legs are still uneven. He's like, it's because your body is uneven.
He's like, sorry, babe. I really can't hear what you're saying because I'm losing the oxygen because of my form-fitting agency t-shirt right now. Which he was wearing, like this tight as hell long sleeve shirt that said the agency. I'm like, come on, Maurizio. None of us are buying houses from you right now, okay? Just give it. And also, Kyle, I mean, you would rather lose, you know, however many hundreds of dollars you're going to sell that pantsuit for than just to throw on one of the things you've worn to like a white party 5 years ago. Come on.
You don't have anything pink. Come on, Kyle.
Yeah.
So Erica, she just wanted a chance to say her story. So exactly. Erica and Mikey, it's like a double whammy for them. You know, they get an agency and a Kyle by Eileen to plug in there.
Well, what
so
I like
over at Erica's house, Mikey's like, yes. And he's with all of the, you know, the entire
we don't even see them. Team. We just see like an exterior of Erica's house. And we just hear Mikey go, Erica, let's get this party started.
They're like, girl, yes. Ooh, girl. So we go in and she's like, it's a diamonds and rose party. We have to wear pink sparkles and wedges. And
they're like, wedges.
Wedges.
Who wears wedges after dark?
It was like those commercials for Pawn. Remember Pawn or All Fruit or something like that? When they go, would you please pass the jelly? And everyone faints in the room.
They're like, New York City, batch! Get a rut, batch. So she's like, yeah, that's very 9021. No, and they're dun, like, dun, 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 dun.
That's my slide whistle. So meanwhile, Dorit. Now, I will say this: we were talking about this the other night, and we do have to give props where props are due. And generally, Dorit looks great for her, like her fashion. Like she has a good eye for fashion. This is something we were discussing the other night. And I feel like we haven't really given her credit for that. You know, she did work in fashion. I think she has a good eye. However,
she worked in swimsuit fashion. But okay.
But please continue. Being said, Dorit was watched some fashion show where she saw gold in people's hair. And she thought, what a great moment for a diamonds and rosé party. I'm like, well, except that it's neither pink nor diamond. But okay.
Yeah. It's not even silver.
It's not even
like, at least you could do silver, you know?
So she decides she wants to put this gold leaf in her hair.
The biggest twist of the season is yet to come. Dorit is a Cylon.
I know. It was like, ex machina. I mean,
so she's telling the kid, she's like, Jagger, do you like mommy's hair?
Pretty little gold poop.
The biggest twist of the season comes when he finally ends his character arc and speaks a word. He's like,
no.
Applause. No. Applause to Jagger. You came through it. Now your mom's going to have to come up with a different dysfunction for you for next year.
She's like, I'm terribly sorry, Jagger. I don't think you understood the question. Do you think mummy looks absolutely delightful? Do you?
No.
No.
Does it look like mummy was hit by a missile of fashion?
No.
No.
So then back over at Rinna's house, Rinna has her own gay, but it's funny compared to Erica's gaze, because this guy looks kind of like she just kind of found him under some freeway burning a tire.
It's a gay charity.
He's in a belt made out of fish hooks.
Yeah, you know? He's on a foreign exchange from, like, you know, Sun Valley.
And her kid's saying, you look a little milfy today. She's like, ha, 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 I look like milk. She's like, what's it like having me as a mom? In one word. She's like, crazy. You should have said best mom in the world, baby. She goes, yeah, well, you're really fun when you're high in the backyard on sugar or whatever, you know, dancing around.
Dorit's like,
I'm gonna put that in my back pocket. I heard that. You hear Dorit across town.
So, Rinna's going on this whole thing like, baby, you can't say that I'm high on drugs and anything. Because everyone already thinks I'm on Xanax, baby.
Yeah, like if I did that every day, I'd be like, ugh. And she acts like she's falling down. And she goes, no, that's what you look like when you're drunk. I mean, I've seen that a million times.
It's like every morning when I wake up.
Like, and then she jumps on her and tickles her. And I'm like, oh, God, don't give Dorit more ammo. She's a child molester.
Isn't it a bit funny? The way Lisa touches her own daughters is a little bit funny.
I'm sure that it's hilarious that Lisa Rinna's touched a knee to her daughter's vagina.
And then when she gets called on it later, no, I said it was hilarious. I don't see what is wrong with me saying it's hilarious. That she just loves being inappropriate with her children who are underage.
I'm studying poetry and incest is best is all I'm saying.
A room of one's own, if you know what I'm saying.
So over at the party at Villa Rosa, there's indoor couches outside. I mean, it's like that girl from Princess's Long Island's complete nightmare.
There's a couch on the porch. Help me.
So it looks nice, and Lisa Vanderpump's bossing around waiters, all the usual. Party's about to start. Erica shows up actually first at Kyle's place, and I have to say, I thought this was a swing and a miss in terms of looks. She was wearing this pink wig because her gay was like, I want it to look like you were just bathing in rosé. So this pink wig, which I'm not opposed to, but this like diamondy thing, it did not come together. But again, I'm not a fashion gay, and I am often on the wrong side of these things.
Yeah, it was like a skin-tight dress with plastic jewels glued to it, and she was wearing a big pink wig. It looked, you know, it was like very low-rent grease.
Yeah, it was like a little costumey as opposed to a look.
Yeah. So everyone starts arriving. I just wrote, Erica arrives looking like a crazy person. The dog's freak. She said, diamonds and rosé. And Kyle, she goes to Kyle's house to pick her up. And Kyle's like, my little pony just got here.
Yeah. And I love how Kyle does it. She's like, oh my God, you look crazy. This is great. My little pony got here. I'm like, you realize, Kyle, you're acting like this is the most wonderful thing, but you just totally took a dig.
Yeah. So everybody's getting ready and going to the party. Rinna and Eileen are going together. And Rinna's like ready for battle. You know, she's already like, like just like really hyper in the car. She's like, I'm an easy target. Let's face it, it's just easier to say Rinna is so awful.
I'm like Shay, easy target, baby. By the way, you know what I love? I love that Eileen's niece, Devin, looks exactly like Elizabeth Shue. I was like, could there be anything more appropriate than to have a niece that looks like Lori from Soap Dish? The niece of Sally Fields.
It's like you're worried that Rinna's about to embarrass you at a party, and you're in the car with someone from Adventures in Babysitting. Then we cut to Camille, who's shown up in a green dress for some reason. I guess she didn't get the, you know, the paperless post.
Is it? It's so funny that this party is a. It's like a rosé.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be a rosé and rosé. Diamonds party.
Diamonds,
you know?
And
yeah, so diamonds party. Yeah, party, so that's why you wore green.
But that's where we're. It's so upsetting. Hi. Hi. You know, I do feel like. I feel like this is our last Camille moment of the season. So, in honor of that, we should.
Now, how sad that we're going to be celebrating
somebody else's. Yeah, when, on the same day that we hear about our friend's split.
So upsetting.
I know.
Classic.
So Vanderpump and Dorit. So Dorit is all worked up to you. She looks terrified. Like she's very nervous for this big finale fight.
Well, also you can't be ready to go to war at a fight when you are probably thinking to yourself, I can't believe this is the look I've chosen for the season finale fight. Because you know when you try on a new shirt and you buy it at the store, you think it's going to be like, oh, this is an awesome shirt. And then you put it on at home and you're like, this doesn't look quite right, but I'm just going to try it. And then you're walking around and you're just feeling so insecure. I can't imagine her thinking.
Everybody's looking at you funny.
Because like, she was wearing a great dress, but I mean, her hair was so janky because it was like, not only did she have this gold shit in it, I mean, it looked like someone took a paint bucket and just dropped on her head, but her hair in the back was like all, like, it looked like it was like unwashed and just stringy or something. Not stringy, but it was janky.
Well, she's really nervous, and yeah, she can't even like nervously scratch her scalp or whatever, you know? It's like, I can't mess it up. She looked like something to go wrapped in foil, you know?
And PK was wearing his like 1987 white blazer with a black V-neck underneath it. I'm like waiting for the Miami Vice music to kick in.
And Vanderpump goes up to them looking terrified, and she's like, you seem very reserved, darling. And Dorit's like, I have reservations when there's very clear intentions. Like, what the fuck, Dorit?
Inventions, perspirations, press mentions. Dorit, are you just
intervention.
Going through? Are you just going through a rhyming dictionary?
Twitter mention.
Convention.
Oh, it reminds me, we need to check on our suspension.
Oh no, it looks like there's been an indentation. Is that a word? Indentation. Oh.
I'm so nervous, my butt cheeks are clenching.
You know what those pipes need? They need a good wrenching.
So she says, well, Lisa, you were at the conversation in Mexico. Did I at any point say that Lisa Rinna has a drug problem? And Vanderpump's like, you never relayed that sentiment to me. Okay, you are so full of shit.
But I also wasn't listening.
She did. She came up to her at the Boy George party, and she's like, oh, Vanderpump, I think it's so funny that Rinna had a bag of pills. What do you think of that? And then Vanderpump was like, oh, God. She's like, darling, are you insinuating that she has a drug problem? I'm leaving. That's when she was just grossed out that she had chosen to be on Dorit's side and left.
Yeah.
And then when she brought it up in Mexico, they cut to Lisa's face and she's like, ugh. So, yeah, you knew that's what she was insinuating. But, yeah. You know, they are all sticking to each other's sides this season. They're keeping those teams pretty stuck. So
then Rinna and Eileen show up, which I love because we got to see Eileen's full outfit, which was very like 1994 non-blondes, you know, like all that was missing was one of those big velvet hats, top hats, you know, it's like, oh, Eileen, always good for a 20-year-old look.
And Rinna's just, you hear, I think Dorit hears Rinna coming all the way from the front of the house because Rinna's amped up. So she's already like yelping everything. Like at 10 stars, and she's not even bothering to go through what she's pointing at. She's just pointing and naming things. She's like, look, the bridge, beautiful ducks, wine, dirt, gravel, wow.
Well, at least she has the one person with manners enough to turn to our favorite swans and go, hi, Hanky and Panky. And they're like, just keep walking, bitch. I also liked that there was like a cutaway shot of a candle sliding down the bridge right in front of Hanky's face, and it like scared Hanky. And they even put in a sound effect like whoosh, I rewound that five times.
Poor Hanky. That's why he's like nervously scratching his butt all the time.
Startled by candles.
It's like
so much vulnerability. Broken bird, literally.
Oh, and we forgot to mention that PK said maybe Rin is so worried about it because she has a drug problem. I'm like, oh, good, you are argument, PK.
Yeah, seriously.
Asshole. And he's standing there all sweaty and red-faced, not like a cokehead at all.
He's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to charm her by calling her a Muppet in the balcony. And then she'll be so disarmed, she won't know what to say next.
I can't wait to get my zinger out about Erica needing to call her husband.
I can't wait to tell Erica that she's like Rolf on the piano.
I'm like Rolf until I learned to hate the piano because my mom always yelled at me during lessons.
Oh, Lisa, you're such an animal. Like, animal. Animal.
Ah! That's animal. So Dorit is like, Rinna, Lisa Rinna, I found her unpredictable. And then they show her doing unpredictable things. And she's like, and she's all full of accusations. She's like, coke, baby, middle fingers, fuck you, Dorit. I'm like, wow, you're basically going through a Rinna's greatest hits right now. This is not helping you. It's reminding everybody why we all love Rinna.
Yeah, you know, I think we talked about this. I think when I was hangry on the bonus episode, I was saying how people accuse us of being biased towards Rinna because she came on the podcast and we like just hung out with her. But I'm like, of course we're biased. It's a podcast. The whole point of the podcast is that you have your favorites and you take it and you sort of defend them. I mean, that's the fun of all these shows. And like, people hate Rinna, and that's like the fun for them too. You know, the people you love, the people you hate. We've always liked Rinna. We've liked Rinna for seasons now. And that's one of the things that we love about Rinna is that she does sort of fly off the handle and just like go at people. Because at the end of the day, she's always just laughing in the confessional, and that goes a long way, with at least with me. I'm like, at least someone's going off on someone, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a Real Housewives show. That's what you do.
Yeah, that's what you do.
You can't get mad at an ice skater for making a figure eight.
Yeah, just someone make sure that when the shit goes down, cover Hanky's eyes. It's time for our listener spotlight.
Oh, good. Right on.
Yay. Spotlight. Listener Spotlight is this feature that we do where we cede the floor to one of our listeners. You go to patreon.com/watchforcrappins, and if you decide to support the podcast at the listener spotlight level, we're going to give you 2 minutes to talk on this podcast. This week, we have the absolutely lovely and adorable Suzanne Bruce. Here she goes.
Hi, Ronnie. Hi, Ben. My name is Suzanne Bruce. I am a first grade teacher from Chicago, and I've been listening to you guys for a long time. I've been listening to you ever since Maddie was with you, and I miss him. I think that what makes me unique as a Crappins listener is that I don't watch probably like 80% of the shows that you recap. And the reason that I don't is because when you recap the shows that I watch, which are New York, OC, and Atlanta, and you say something that I disagree with, I take it personally and I get all upset. And I'm like, how could you think that way? Because the whole time I'm watching it, I'm thinking that you're going to think or you're going to say what I think. And then when you don't, I take it personally. So the shows that I don't watch, which are Real Housewives of Melbourne and Ladies of London and Married to Medicine, when you recap those, I love listening because it is strictly theater of the mind. So you go through the stories and I can just go through it with you and I don't have a side to take. So those are the ones that I find the most enjoyable. Recently, you recapped Summer House and I watched it. And after the recap, I went back and I rewatched the shows that you recapped. And it was so much more fun watching it after the recap than if I had just watched it on my own. So I'm so glad that I got to come on and say, I love you. I love both of you so much. Every time I listen to the bonus episodes, and please keep Watch What Crappens going forever. Thank you.
Oh, Suzanne, it's so funny that that was a thing. Just like literally 2 minutes after my little monologue about how, you know, the fun of these shows is taking a side. And she's like, when you take a side, that's not mine. I get personally offended. I'm not personally offended, but it feels like that. That's awesome. Suzanne, that's so sweet of you. Thanks.
Yeah, that was a good one. Love you, Suzanne. Yeah, we see her all the time on Facebook. She makes really funny comments.
I know. She's great. And we're never in a fight. And by the way, at the end of the day, all this stuff is all bullshit. It's just hilarious bullshit. So no one get too worked up about sides and everything, because the fun of it is just having a friendly, like, I think that Dorit's full of shit. No, I think Erica's full of shit. I think Rin is full of shit. That's the fun of this stuff, because not at the end of the day, none of it matters.
So, yeah. It's all bullshit.
All bullshit. Darling. Well, thanks, Suzanne, for listening to us for all these years. And thanks to everyone who has tuned in today and any other day. Go tell your friends about the podcast. Because there's no because. I have no good justification.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Suzanne. We will talk to you next week for the season finale.
Or tune in tomorrow for our Southern Charm preview spectacular. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the podcast today. We really appreciate the love and support you guys show us. If you have a minute, go to iTunes and leave a review. And if you don't want to do that, maybe next time you're talking to your friends about Bravo, you mention the podcast. Spreading the word really helps us grow, and it means the world to us. Also, check us out on Instagram and at Twitter. On Instagram, we're at Watch What Crappens. On Twitter, we're at What Crappens. You can also check out me and Ronnie on both platforms. Ronnie is at Ronnie Karam on both Instagram and Twitter, and I'm at B-Side Blog on Instagram and Twitter. Really, thank you guys so much. We really mean it. We appreciate the support. And even if you do none of those things, we're just happy you're listening. Thanks.